It was, everything was wet. Yeah, it was very nice. It smelled very good. Yes, it smelled refreshing and like the smell after the rain. It was lovely. We liked it. We like it. And the grass actually, I thought, looked greener. So I'm like, yes. Oh, that Lonnie loves the grass to look green. Fertilize it, mow it. He loves it. It's his happy place. And it's very nice. It's a very nice place. Praise God. Let's go ahead and pray this morning before we start Sunday school. Heavenly Father, we love you and thank you so much for today. Thank you, Lord, for this Sunday morning. Thank you for your word, your spirit. Lord, I pray that you would touch, Lord, each heart here today. Lord, whatever has happened this week, Lord, that you would just be that balm of Gilead, that healing ointment, Lord. Just touch, Lord, hearts and spirits and minds, Lord. Bless your word today and bless me in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I'm very aware that there's been a lot of, you know, life happening this week with a lot of people, whether it's medical, friends, memorial services. We have sun, we have fun, but we also are living life together, aren't we? So just want to be, I'm just very consciously aware that everyone's had something different happen this week, and just that to know that God is with each one of us, and he is an ever-present help in times of trouble, when we have hard times. And thank God he's there in the good times. We kind of get that, right? He's there in the good times, and we love it, yes. But he's there in those times when we just need that embrace from heaven. We need his touch. Today we're talking about handwriting on the heart. We're starting a new series in our Sunday school lessons. And I really pray that this will be a blessing to you today. We're just going to talk today basically about how important the Holy Ghost is in our lives, how important it is for what the Holy Ghost does to edify us, to change us, to make us who we are in Christ. Just it fulfills so many areas of our lives that we could never have ever imagined it would. And it does that in such a beautiful way. So thankful for that. We're going to read today in the Word of God, starting in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. And I'm going to read this first portion from the New King James Version. And it's okay, Aaron, if it's in King James up there. It says, Jeremiah 31, 31, starting, "Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord, but this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you glad that we get to live in this new covenant now? And if you have repented of your sins, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, and you have received that beautiful infilling of the Holy Ghost, you are a recipient of this new covenant that Jeremiah is speaking of. Praise God. And it's something so life-changing. And it allows us to do things and feel things and see things that we could never in our own natural flesh ever. And even from before Christ, reading the Word of God, you read it, but once you receive the Holy Ghost, you notice that the illumination and revelation you get through the Holy Ghost when you read the Word of God, it's amazing and wonderful, and I thank God for it. Praise God. It helps us to live better, live holy, live righteous, to live the way he wants us to live for him. And that's just a beautiful thing. I pray that we would allow the Holy Ghost too today and through our lives just to equip us and empower us, because he really wants to. He wants to equip us, make us ready. He wants to give us a power, and that we can live in that a power and the authority in his Spirit the way he wants us to live. Praise God. And he desires great things for us, church. He desires very great things. And I want to live in his word and live in his Spirit. History shows us that despite the failure of God's people to be able to live up to these covenants, even though they failed and couldn't do it, of course, and we'll talk about that, God made a new covenant. And in his grace and in his mercy, he lets us live in that. Thank you, Lord. And I'm so thankful that his Spirit, it gives us, really, it's a lens for eternity with our spirit to seek after the things of God, to think after and seek after the things that are not of this earth. The things that are going to pass away are going to pass away. But there are some things in the spirit world, i.e. the Holy Ghost, that is in us that is not going to pass away. It's going to be with us. It's going to quicken us. And one day, that is what's going to quicken us so we can be and live in that eternal realm. Praise God. And this passage of scripture in Jeremiah is where Jeremiah is prophesying that God would make this new covenant with his people. I'm very thankful that we get to live right now, today, 2022, I sometimes say 19, start saying 19, you know, when I'm, I know. But we get to live in 2022 in that fulfillment of this promise, this new covenant. Praise God. We are living in that today. Praise God. And this is where God said, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And one of the problems with the old covenant was this. The Jews found it, and we would too, because we're humans and they were. We would find it really hard to just obey an outward set of laws all the time because the inward man had never been changed. They just were trying to obey and do their very best, and they slipped up. And that's a problem people have today, is they're living for their Lord in their own power, in their own might, in their own strength, whatever, it's all their own. And they never really get what is from God in the Holy Ghost if they don't fulfill and live in the new covenant. Praise God. And what they get is what they themselves can do for themselves, basically. But isn't it wonderful living for God when we know that we're not just going to have what we can do and provide and work for and put food on the table and clothes on our back? God is going to do something even more, even greater through his Spirit if we allow him to just live and breathe and just refresh us, renew us in his Spirit. And I thank God that Jeremiah had that God perspective. And he talks about in chapter 32 when he said, there is nothing too hard for you, talking about God. And he was talking about God, how he had supernaturally delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt with signs and wonders. And he's telling the people this. And with this healthy perspective of God, he wanted others to have the same healthy perspective of God, that God is able to do all things. And we see that echoed in the New Testament in Luke 1:37, where it says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Praise God. Church, I want us to have that same mindset, that we would have that same mindset, that we could live day to day that says, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you. Lord, you can do all things. And just live that and breathe that in our spirits. And our mindset, that we could say, not just in our minds, but let it be a heart set, knowing that nothing is too hard for the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, God Almighty. He is sovereign. Amen. Praise God. I'm so, so thankful. This mindset, heart set, will change our relationships. That's what it does. when we're living in the Holy Ghost with His Spirit, it changes our family dynamics. It changes our workplace, our job, our ministry in the Lord. It changes that. And it changes how we approach every day and every part of our lives. It changes. When you're not in the Spirit, and you have been, because you're human, how have you reacted that you reacted differently after you had got the Holy Ghost and walked in the Spirit? You reacted differently. Maybe it was a tone. Maybe it was reaction. Maybe you're not punching walls anymore. I don't know what it is. You know what I'm saying? The anger is gone. There's a peace that God gives you. There's a contentment that the world you tried before, and the world didn't give it to you. There was a big ugly hole there, and it was empty, and it was like, Lord, what's this hole? There's something more to this world, this life, than this. And when the Holy Ghost came, evidence of speaking in tongues, and you had that washing of His Spirit over you, you acted different because God Almighty lives inside of you and breathes inside of you. You reacted different. You acted different. And praise God, isn't that great? There's something so powerful about the Holy Ghost. And I thought of that song. I'm not going to sing it, but something about the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I've got it. I've got it. And do you have it today, church? Do you have the Holy Ghost, the power of His Spirit? Praise God. Oh, praise God. How fitting is it that today is Pentecost Sunday, and of course, this lesson today. God wants to do a powerful work through each one of us, through this church here, through the peninsula, through Alaska District. He wants to do powerful work. And by us living in fulfillment in the new covenant, we are able to do that through His power. We're able to live abundantly, praise God. We're able to live a beautiful life in the Holy Ghost, and it's available to everyone. It's available to every single person. And the greatest thing is there's no age limit. The Christmas song from 2 to 92, whatever it is, it's for everybody. You know, there's no age limit on it. Praise God. I'm so thankful for that. The story opens in the teacher's resource about a family who had a very long journey, and they had a long travel ahead of them. The family was a husband and wife, and they had one child. They were traveling mid-America, and they got in their car, and they were moving. It was a move for their home, for ministry, for their life, and they'd never been to this part of the country before. Of course, there's excitement, but is there not apprehension and maybe a little fear, mixed emotions? And their hearts and minds were flooded, just flooded. And they had people, doubters, had already told them that this part of the country is a place where people are really cold and churches are really hard to build. It's really hard. Doubters. The Lord had been working on this husband's heart to take this church in this area. And through a series of God connections, don't you love that? It was clear that they were to go to this church in New England, where that was where God wanted them to be. So the next few years were years of adjusting. They went from life in a city to rural, and they had changed. They had moved. It felt like a foreign country to them. It felt so strange. I can't imagine if you're listening to sirens like Aaron and Kendra have a lot of. Fire engine sounds and trucks right in the middle of Soldotna. It seems like every time we go over there, there's some kind of siren going off, and I'm like, they don't even hear it anymore. But they had heard, you know, the busy, bustling life of city and then moving to rural. And when I say rural, if you're used to and love the city, it's a change, a big change. The enemy did everything he could to discourage the new pastor and his family, just like the enemy does to you, to discourage you and make you think, man, am I in the right place? Well, they started thinking that. Am I in the right place? Is this ministry the right ministry? Question their ministry. Should I even be here? Then something started to happen gradually inside. Several years after moving there, they had an opportunity to go back where they first came from. Isn't that amazing when you go back to a place you came from and you're where God has brought you to and you're living in that place and God's grace and mercy and beauty, right? They realized that they had fallen in love with this rural place and they loved it. It was their new home. In fact, God was doing great things, the Spirit of God moving, and it was a place where God was using them. So they begin to prefer the winding roads, right, over the city development and such sounds. But the mission had moved from their heads to their hearts, and there was a change, and there was a change. And that's the change where we, too, reading in the Word of God, we can get this head knowledge, and that's great. But God, help it to be a heart knowledge, that we get it so that we don't just know it, but we get to live in it and feel it. We experience the Holy Ghost. We experience that life change. Praise God. I remember that move coming up here from Stockton to get married in 94. I should say 1994 now. And I came up with, I think I had, what, two suitcases, the airline allows, and what, the clothes on my back, and I had my friend mail me two boxes of books up here. And that's my, that, and I was like, yes, let's start married life, you know, and I was very excited, and everything changed. But what God did and has done in the last 28 years is He's given me a great family, a great church family, great friends, great neighbors. I couldn't ask for anything more. I mean, I'm just very blessed. I feel very blessed. Praise God. Today we celebrate Pentecost Sunday. And this is a Sunday that was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, after Passover. So the word Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecoste, which means 50th. And this is the Passover, 50 days after the Passover. And another feast that this is associated with is the 7 weeks before the first day of grain offering until Pentecost was called the Feast of Weeks. And I always had a hard time remembering that, but I think it's so long, 7 weeks, so we can remember the Feast of Weeks. I think that's a good way. So this was a time of celebrating the fact of the grain harvest, and a time to give an offering from that harvest, and a time to tithe to the Lord from all their blessings. It was a time to remember. It was a time to remember blessings from the past, blessings of the present, and worshiping God. Praise God, worshiping God, giving thanks to Him, and worshiping. Worshiping will always change everything. It'll change the atmosphere. And you know what? If that could be the whole summary of today, the Holy Ghost will change the atmosphere in everything. Every part of our being, every part of our life, it changes. Absolutely. I love that it changes the atmosphere in our homes. And as a homemaker staying home for many years, I really felt that it was my responsibility to create and help maintain and sustain that Holy Ghost atmosphere in our home, because my husband would go out and work in various jobs and come back, and the kids would go out to school and come back. But that home, what to me is a sanctuary. It's where God rests and abides with our family. And I was very and am very aware when something comes in that shouldn't be there. And we have always taken care of it. We will rebuke and plead the blood of Jesus. We anoint the doors, the windows, and we anoint the dog and our children when they lived at home. Hey, they did it in the Old Testament, right? And I'm like, you know what? We do it. And Willie's, he's just the better for it. Praise God. But it does. It does change the atmosphere. After you pray, okay, so I'm going to just stay here. After you know what, your little family, there's been a little row of some sort, whether it's bickering between the children, spouses. I promise you, if you take a moment and pray in the Holy Ghost with your husband or wife or child, you just wait and feel the atmosphere. It changes to the point so much where you're able to walk into the kitchen and start doing dishes and start singing choruses of praise. you go down to the laundry room and you're like, choruses of praise come forth from your heart. You just start singing them. They come to you. Even if you don't sing them, you hum them. There's a little bit of a lift in your step because God has connected with you and you've connected with him and you've got rid of the junk that you didn't need to have in your home. And if there was an argument, guess what? It's under the blood. Praise God. And everything changes. And I've said this to when Kendra's moved her office around a couple weeks ago. We were there in the weekend by ourselves, and we were setting up plants and little, I don't want to say doilies, but cut fabric and whatnot. And I said, before we leave here, I want to pray with you in your office. I just think, you know what? What a blessing that is, because that set an atmosphere, because those people who came in Monday morning, boom, they didn't know what happened over the weekend, but you know what? I pray to God they felt God's spirit and that it would change the atmosphere in that workplace environment. And we want that so much. We want our homes, our workplace environment, when we have dinners or coffee or tea with our friends, we want them to feel that change, that there's something different. When I am with Sister Belinda, there is a power that I've never felt before. There is a love that I just have never felt before going out with someone else. And that's a great thing to feel. And your friends need that. That change in the atmosphere, no matter where it is, let the Holy Ghost be that part of that atmosphere. Let it be all the atmosphere, praise God. And you know what, church? He is for you. The Holy Ghost is for you. And Pentecost today, we're celebrating Pentecost. It's designed for us to take a pause and just thank him and be thankful for our provisions, a time to, much like we pray before dinner, we take a moment and pause and thank him for the food and the blessings. It's a time to appreciate our blessings. Praise God. Our children had this, and I wish we could have brought it, but it's underneath the house. They had this VeggieTale doll. And it was it Junior Honey, Junior Asparagus? It was about so tall, I'm asking him, because he probably used it the most with the kids at nighttime. We would do this, we always prayed with the kids before they went to bed, you know, teaching them so they could learn. And we love this when we found this doll, this little tiny veggie tail. And I asked Kendra, I said, can you remind me of the words? And it sang this little song in Junior's voice, and it says, because a thankful heart is a happy heart. I'm glad for what I have. I didn't write it all down. That's an easy place to start. For the love that he shares when he listens to my prayers, that's why I say thanks every day. But it's the cutest thing because Junior's voice is so, so cute. And then the kids would pray and it lit up also. It lit up. But it was just a lovely way to end their day and pray and teach them about prayer and thanking God for the day. And we started doing this a few weeks ago, and a thankful journal, where we thank God, like, what are two things that are good that happened today that you can thank God for? And then this one's a little harder. One intentional thing you did today that was kind, an act of kindness for someone else. That's intentional, because an act of kindness, you think about it. Praise God. Jeremiah talks about this new covenant. Well, I was like, I just want to what is a covenant then? What is a covenant? We talk about biblical covenants, and they refer to instances where God enters into an agreement with mankind that involves both promises and responsibility. So I just want to give you a few examples from the Old Testament. We have the first one in the Bible, the covenant with Noah. And it was the covenant that after God had set the global flood, which destroyed the wickedness of the world, he promised never to destroy the world again with a flood. And that's in Genesis 9:11. He says, I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. So This covenant didn't require people to do anything. It was a promise from God, and it was a covenant, and it was fulfilled by God's faithfulness, right? The next one we could look at would be God's covenant with Abraham. It was the Abrahamic covenant. In Genesis 1 through 3, God said this, "Get out of your country," talking to Abraham, "from your family and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." This was years after the flood. Pride began to get into the people's heart, and they began to rebel against God, and they constructed the Tower of Babel. And God confused the languages and dispersed the people. And eventually, then he called Abraham. And in this covenant, God promised Abraham three specific things. He says, "I'm going to you will be made into a great nation. This nation will be led into the promised land. And through him, Abraham, all people of the earth will be blessed." But this covenant required Abraham to do something. He had to get up. It says get up. And then it says leave your family and follow God to the land he would show him. So he had to do something. I'll just look at the covenant of Moses. The Mosaic covenant was a covenant that was dependent upon the people's response to the law that God had given. In Exodus chapter 19, 5 through 6, it says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and holy nation." This is where God tells Moses, if Israel obeys, if the people obey, they will be my chosen people and my treasured possessions. Praise God. Then the covenant with David, the covenant that God made with David was made in respect to the previous covenant. God made this covenant with David to bring back his people into a relationship with him. And God had promised David that the Messiah lineage would come from his family, from David. God's promises, his covenants, his laws are yea and amen. They're yes and amen. And I don't know why I just thought of it, but when I was studying, I thought of the law of the harvest. You know, it's without repentance, but the law of the harvest, the Bible says that the yield has no limit on its increase. And it says that our labors will continue to bring forth more abundant harvest each year as we follow the Lord. And I thought, man, if we put that in the supernatural, in the Holy Ghost, what we do and what we sow in the Holy Ghost, living in our lives to our families and our friends and our coworkers, our neighbors, you know what? There will be a harvest, because the Bible says that some will sow, right? Some will water, and some there will be reaping, right? There will be a harvest. I don't know where we are right now in that process. I feel like I sow a lot, but you know what? That's okay, because God waters. People water with kind, good words of godliness and the gospel's good news, and there is a harvest coming. And the Lord says that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And he says, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest. There will be a reaping day. There will be reaping. Let none of us be weary in doing good, for in the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up, if we just keep on keeping on, keep on planting, keep on sowing, keep on watering. And it's a promise. There will be a harvest. I don't know why I thought of the promise of God's, the promise of the harvest. I want to share a story today about a gentleman named Henry Hines. I heard this in Bible college from Brother Haney. And Henry Hines, he believed and practiced a biblical principle of tithing. And I'll tell you what his story is. He was 6 years old. He started helping his mama in the garden behind the house. At 8 years old, he was selling vegetables from the family garden door to door. By nine, and now we're passing Jasmine's age, right? By nine, right, he was growing, grinding, and bottling his own brand of horseradish. Folks, by age nine, by age 10, he was given 3/4 acre of his own, and he graduated to a wheelbarrow where he delivered his vegetables. At age 12, he worked 3.5 acres of a garden using a horse-drawn cart for delivery 3 times a week to a grocery store in Pittsburgh. Despite his green thumb, his mama wanted him to study the Word of God. She wanted him to be a minister. So he went to a school to study. At the school, he was able to take a bookkeeping course. He did study. However, gardening proved to be his lifelong dream and love. And he was born in 1844, and he lived to 1919. And through those years, he was a devout tithe payer. Today, the Heinz Company is a $10 billion global company selling 650 million bottles of the trademark Heinz 57 ketchup yearly. It employs 32,500 people around the world. And although it's not family run anymore, they still keep to the original saying of Henry Heinz. And he said this: to do common things uncommonly will bring success. You know what? And I have to really believe that he read the scripture in Luke chapter 6, 38, and just thought, you know what? Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And I thought of, again, this one young lady in Bible college. After she got married and went to her first general conference, she and her husband were in a service, and I believe it was a missionary service, and it was an offering. And, okay, it was God that told them to give all the money that they had for this service. And they're thinking, how are we supposed to eat when we're here? We're here at general conference. They obeyed God. And I'm just saying, God told them this, right? They obeyed God. And they had friends that brought them out to dinner when they were at general conference. They ate dinners out with friends. And God provided for them. When they got back home, she wrote me a letter. And she said that God had given them a house. And she goes, God gave us a house. And she goes, I believe it all went back to that service where we obeyed God. She said, logically, it didn't make sense. Why would you do that? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make human sense, does it? No. But they trusted God. And I'm thinking, that's some great trust, sis. Wow. And I just want to tell you that story because I'm thinking of the amount of trust it must have taken for both of them to give whatever they had, knowing, like, give everything we have, like, just save some back to live and, you know, so we can go out and eat while we're here. Anyway, God really does keep his promises, and his covenants are yea and amen. When we obey and keep his word, he blesses us in ways that we could never imagine. We could try to think of a scenario where it's going to be the optimum for us, the best for us. But he does it even more so where it's exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever imagine. And we just sit back and go, that's my Jesus. That's my Lord. Thank God, right? He's so good. The covenant, the Old Testament pointed out, it was just hard for people to follow God's laws. And it became very evident that they were not able to keep these laws with their own willpower. So God did this wonderful thing and created and gave us a new covenant and we fulfill it in the New Testament. And we can go, and I'm going to turn to the scripture right now. In chapter Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And we see this beautiful scripture being fulfilled, and then I'll go to 37. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And if we go to verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And we're talking about the new covenant today, and the promise of the Holy Ghost is a fulfillment of that covenant, and we get to live in that. Praise God. You know, there's a difference between reading about it and living it. And an example was just given of the difference between reading about a juicy hamburger and all of the ingredients in it. It's different reading about it than actually biting into it and tasting it, right? And I remember the jingle on the radio years ago. It was the McDonald's Big Mac jingle. And there would be that little song about the two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Remember? You do remember? Okay. You don't remember? Oh, yeah. Man, when McDonald's first came to Terrace, oh, my mom went there, and I think they were, I don't know if they were 2 for 99 cents, but she bought like 10 of them. And we put them in the refrigerator, and we microwaved them throughout the next few days because we're so excited to get the Big Macs. We'd never had one before. We'd only heard a jingle on radio, and we'd never had one. It's a lot like the Holy Ghost in many respects, because if you've never received the Holy Ghost, you can only read about it. You have no idea how great it is. And I'm not comparing that Big Mac to the Holy Ghost. And anyway, I looked up and it said, and I asked Lonnie if he knew, it says in the U.S., do you know how many Big Macs are sold every day in the United States of America?
Oh, my word.
1.5 million every day. And there's a counter that you can see how many Big Macs are sold. Wouldn't it be great if we had a counter for UPCI, how many people receive the Holy Ghost and when they receive the Holy Ghost? I mean, would that not increase our faith drastically? Wow. You know, this condition of our heart, thank God for the Holy Ghost. It's something that changes everything, our atmosphere and every area of our life. Why is it so important? Because we have first-time visitors in our church. And folks, it's not just for the first-time visitors. It's for you, the seasoned saints. It's for each one of us. Because collectively, we all need to taste and see that the Lord is good. Romans tells us that we are more than conquerors. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I want to search for him with all my heart. I want him to have all my heart. Praise God. And don't let Satan abuse you with lies and tell you that, oh, my relative could never get the Holy Ghost because they're so bad, or my cousin, or my whoever, or if it's you today, I know all of you probably have received the Holy Ghost, but don't let him lie to you, because that's what he has always done. He's a liar. He's a father of lies. And he will lie. I'm saying today, believe God's word. Believe and trust God's word. Like Jeremiah, let's have that right God perspective. Is there anything too hard for you, Lord? And is anything too hard for God? No. We can thank him today for, praise God, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And share that love for him, the Holy Ghost that we have, with someone else. Tell them about the Holy Ghost, what it's done in your life. And I put in here, time permitting, we could go through and just say all the wonderful things that the Holy Ghost has done in our lives. I do want to close with this one story, though. And I'll show you the picture. It was in the, this dog's name is Champ, right here. Champ was unfortunately an abused dog, and there was an act of cruelty done to him where there was some acid poured accidentally on him, and he ended up going through some treatments and skin surgeries and a lot of healing, a lot of medical care. And it was a New Jersey couple in 2007 that adopted this beagle, and they started helping him in the healing process. And at first, he wouldn't even come out of his cage. He just stayed in his cage. But they showed him love, and they helped him heal. And I just want to say that sometimes there are people that are going to walk through our doors that have been abused and they've been hurt. They just want to feel some love. They just want to feel that it's a safe place where they can come and walk into our sanctuary. They want to feel like you have their backs, and you are going to treat them in a way that we are going to love them like God would love them and care for them. So that when they come here and they come to the altar or they're sitting in their pew, they're feeling God's Spirit. They're feeling the Holy Ghost. And collectively together, when we worship, I remember bringing my kids to church when they were little and having such fits and taking them to the nursery and giving them their correction and staying in there with them and thinking sometimes, I only did it for a moment because I know how powerful God's Spirit is. I thought, it was a second. Why am I here? I don't get to be in the church service. But instantly, God rebuked me because I'm like, I know why I'm here, because I could feel. I may not have even knew the title of the message when my kids were little, or even know what was the topic, what's the title, what's going on, really. I mean, I knew. I could feel the Spirit of God, and I could be in the nursery, and I could just feel the Spirit of God, and God was ministering to me. So never take for granted what the Holy Ghost will do in our church services. So whether it's a first time, and I say first time, but you know what? As saints of God, we go through week experiences, W-E-E-K, through the week, and we need strength. That's why we all come together, and we join together and pray, and we renew each other with, I'm renewed by your Spirit, and you're renewed by mine, and together we are growing in God's grace, and we're better together. Praise God. So today, let's celebrate Jesus Christ. Let's celebrate the Holy Ghost and his blessings. Praise God.